You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 podcast.
We're back. A lot of conversation concerning Saban. What did he mean? Was he taking a direct shot at Nate Oates in his comments last night about one of his own players in trouble with the law? We'll talk a little bit later with Brandon Marcello. We've already had John Talty on. Jim is up next.
Me now, Paul, and you know what? I've concluded this show needs me desperately. It needs me. You know that.
We all agree.
I agree. I knew you did, Paul. You know, when you got godless fools like Logan, who said he doesn't believe in God, yeah, the show needs me. And what about Kathy? Where you come with these lies, Kathy? Have you heard me say I wasn't going to call the show anymore? Tell the truth, Paul. Have you heard me say that in the last week, two weeks?
No, never.
Okay. Well, there you are, Kathy. You're wrong again. What are you talking about? Legion biting off people's ears? What? He's got a good appetite. You know, what can you say for a guy like that?
It helps your hearing to bite somebody else's ear.
Oh, yeah, I guess it does. Well, anyway, you know, I heard part of the first hour. I was busy answering some stuff from Donald Trump.
A bug on the live on the air. Hold on 1 second, Jim. It's right here.
What was that?
I've been invaded by like a horsefly. But go ahead. I think we have it under control. Sorry about that.
Oh, that's good. I sent him over there a while ago. Put him in a package. No. Well, anyway, you know, the show can be entertaining. You know that, and you got William giving us all that legal advice, and I mean, good night. This show's hot. You know, it really is.
So far, this has been the most entertaining call in a while.
Yeah, I know it is. And you know I'm capable of it. You know that. And by the way, Logan, I ain't 90 or 80 or 70 or 60 years old. Yeah. Where'd you get that false information?
Keep going, Jim. We're trying to catch a fly.
Well, you got dumbasses like AJ, J-A. His name ought to be J-A. You know what that stands for. Instead, he just got everything. That's typical of him. Everything with that guy is backwards, Paul. Pure D backwards. I'm glad you can laugh. I'm loving you laughing.
Jim, let me assure you, I was laughing at the bug, not you.
Well, okay, good. But you know what? I'm going to be like Iron Man. I'm going to call you the rest of your natural life, Paul, and mine too. That's what you got something to look forward to.
Well, Jim, that is a relief to us because we had a spell there, as we used to say back in the day, of four or five callers that I really thought the world was coming to an end about 25 minutes ago.
Believe me, there's one thing we got in common. We know what's good and bad in regard to talk shows. And this ain't been too good sometimes.
No, I've read some of your comments about the future of the show, Jim, and I hope you're not right. But, Jim.
Wait a minute. Not lately. I hadn't said anything lately, have I?
Oh, I thought I saw something the other day where you said the show's death was imminent.
No, that wasn't me, Paul.
Oh, okay.
And by the way, some of that stuff is 3 or 4 months old, you know. When you get these tweets,
you're right. That's possible because the way Twitter is nowadays, you don't know whether you're reading a modern tweet or one from 20 years ago.
Exactly, and of course, you know, I like to talk to you about politics. When you allow me, you know, they're talking about Trump going to get indicted. Now they ain't going to get indicted, is he or isn't he, Paul? I can't keep up with that.
Well, I think he said that he was supposed to be indicted today, but that's obviously not going to happen.
And I heard, I love the experts in all. Dershowitz says there's no possible way. There's no crime, nothing. Tucker Carlson's all over it. He said, there's no crime. Well, how are they going? These people are crazy. Do you not agree that they're crazy? These people, especially the government people that are, you know, think that they can do this and that and just lies. I don't understand these people. Do you? I know you're a political science guy. I like to talk to you about it.
Yeah, no, I've always had a difficult time with authority. You know that.
And me too. And why shouldn't we when most of them are corrupt? Do you agree?
I would say most of the people I know in public service are corrupt.
Well, how about you? How many people have you got that were friends that have already been in jail or going to jail or spent plenty of time?
I will say that things have gotten a little bit better. But as you know, if you go back to my time in Birmingham, I went through about a 10-year period where I was in double digits with people I knew that or were friendly with or had a business affiliation with that had gone to jail.
People were afraid to become your friend because of that.
Yeah.
Who was that guy? I can't remember the guy, the notorious guy that, I can't remember the guy's name, but he was, all right, go ahead.
What you talking about the business owner or?
Yeah, the business guy. He was a big shot millionaire, so-called business guy. Yeah. What was his name?
Oh, you're talking about Scrooge, aren't you?
That's Scrooge, Richard Scrooge. Perfect. I love
Richard M. Scrooge. He was the founder of a company called HealthSouth, which
Where is Richie now? Where is old Richie?
Well, I don't know. I mean, he served 7 years in jail. He went to jail for something fairly minor. He didn't go to jail for what everybody thought he was going to go to jail for. He ended up going to jail for an illegal campaign contribution to Don Siegelman, but he was exonerated on the original. Remember the original charges of cooking the books at HealthSouth. He was able to beat that charge. Remember Donald Watkins?
I remember him. You used to talk to him. I remember him.
He went to jail too. He went to jail too.
Oh my goodness! I didn't know that.
Yeah,
I didn't.
Absolutely.
The defender of the defense.
Yeah, exactly.
What a great
surprise.
What a group. And I remember you used to love Donald. You used to talk highly about. I even remember the other day.
Hey, by the way, Jim, the guys in the back room said the tweet you said that the show was about to be canceled was sent 3 days ago.
No, that wasn't me.
March 18th.
Quote what it said. Now, I'll be honest with you. If I said it, I can remember. I'll admit it.
Jim, you know, the reason I'm not challenging you on it, but you know things are a little bit tense right now. So when we see a tweet like that, we get nervous, thinking that you may know something that we don't.
Yeah, I'm back. So I'm picking everything up as it is right now. So you see what I'm doing.
Yeah.
But I didn't say that. But
I don't mind, Jim. I don't mind you saying that. Just give us a heads up, okay, so we can clean our desk out.
This is hilarious. You got me entertained now. But I do not remember saying that in the last few days. I don't remember saying that. Can anybody quote what I said?
Yeah,
if I said it?
I can. Okay, this is from what day is this, Jamori? March 18th, which is, 3 days ago. That would have been, Sunday?
Yeah.
Here it is.
Paul, let me tell you this right now. I promise you. I do not tweet on Sunday. You know, and I think you know why. I do not tweet on Sunday.
Well, it says people are saying Feinbaum, with his nasty mistreatment of talk show callers, is on the way out capitalized.
I did say that.
Out
the
door. Good riddance.
I did say that, but it wasn't Sunday.
Okay.
So you. But Paul, let's be fair about it.
You're just denying saying it on Sunday, right?
I didn't tweet on Sunday, but I did say that. But let's be fair. I mean, you've been saying some things about me.
Jim, correction. The 18th was Saturday. You are correct.
Okay. Don't I get equal time on bad stuff said about you and you and me?
What am I? Someone sent it to me and said, is it true? I said, is what true? He said, that the show's being taken off the air. I said, well, where'd you hear that? He said, Jim from Tuscaloosa.
Paul, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to be honest with you. I did hear that.
I'm not asking you your source on that because...
Not even going to tell you what Mike Rader told me the night of your departure from Birmingham to where you are now. I don't consider that what he told me a private source or whatever you call it. What do you call it?
I don't mind you quoting it. You can do whatever you want.
Well, I'm not going to do that
What did he say about me?
Well, I don't want to do that, Paul. Really, you know, he might not want that to be out.
You just quoted a guy who I used to work with many, many years ago about what he said about me 10, 11 years ago?
It was, what was it, 8 years ago when you went over there?
10 years ago.
Oh, I thought it was 13. Yeah, I guess it was. Yeah, 13. You're right, 10 years ago. Well, it wasn't very...
Well, the reason I'm getting sentimental, Jim, because we're about to celebrate my 10th anniversary here, and apparently it's all... I'm not sure I'm going to make it to my 10th anniversary based on your tweet.
Well, I've never been sure you're going to make it to... I never sure you make it to tomorrow, Paul. I mean, that's, the show is a ride. You know that.
Yeah, well, anyway...
Are you guaranteed anything? I'm not. Are you?
Jim,
we're not guaranteed anything, Paul.
You're right.
You know,
I could stand up here and be killed by this bug that we have failed to kill.
But I'll tell you one thing right now, Paul. What you and I are doing is far more entertaining than any of those morons you had on the first hour.
Jim, having a root canal would be more entertaining than listening to some of those people. Hey, Jim, thank you. We're up against a break. Coming right back after this.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
It's been one of the narratives of the offseason, what's going to happen with Jimbo Fisher and Bobby Petrino. We thought it was all cut and dried. Then we just got through listening to Jimbo Fisher. Brandon Marcello joins us on a number of subjects. Brandon, I mean, I know what he said, but what did he really mean? Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us.
Jimbo Fisher doesn't do well with criticism, and he's viewing every question about offense as a criticism or a critique of him. Because it was so bad last year. He's acting the same way today as he was late last season when things were going badly. The truth of the matter is this. Jimbo Fisher has thin skin, but it doesn't change the fact of the matter that he's had to hand over the offense over to Bobby Petrino. And the way to know that is Bobby Petrino would not have taken that OC job at A&M unless it was his offense to call and he was going to call plays next season. Bobby Petrino is not going to come in there and be a quarterback's coach at best and be a position guy and not have a lot of input on game days. That's Bobby Petrino's offense. I think Jimbo Fisher just has a hard time dealing with the reality of the situation. And you can tell by the way he talks and the way he interrupts questions and how combative he is and likes to talk down to people that he's got thin skin with all this. And he doesn't like admitting that, well, his offense just doesn't seem to work right now and he's had to give it up. And go back to what he's been saying about how it's not necessarily about offense and what plays you call. It's about execution. All offenses are the same nowadays. That's not true. But again, that's Jimbo Fisher trying to leave himself an out and to protect himself when he's being questioned by reporters. And in essence, Jimbo Fisher just makes himself look silly and he brings more drama to all this when it shouldn't. This is spring practice, your first spring practice. And now you're bringing this up again by deflecting. Just answer the question head on and tell the truth. Bobby Petrino's the OC. I hired him to call plays, and I want us to be better with execution. They were terrible last year. The only thing A&M had any the only thing A&M had any similarities with in the SEC is that it was right down there with a Vanderbilt as far as scoring. A&M looked more like Iowa's offense than anything else last year, and he's got to face that the offense was terrible because of him last year.
Well said. And you're right. I mean, it's one thing if they had just lost the LSU game and there was some controversy. I mean, but yeah, the one thing that you have to admire about Jimbo Fisher, he doesn't change. So you would have thought, I mean, I guess we could have had him just you know, faking his way through about how great Bobby Petrino is, but he didn't dare do that.
No, I can't do that. Can't start saying that, hey, Bobby Petrino's going to be a better offensive play caller than me, because that would admit weakness. And, you know, Jimbo has been a coach throughout his tenure. Everywhere he's been very successful until here at A&M. He was winning double-digit games practically every season at Florida State. He won a national championship there. He went to a college football playoff. And then now he's at A&M. The pressure's higher right now because they're not getting to where they wanted to be by year five. The recruiting has been top five, and then it falls off again into the top 15 this past year. The pressure's on, and we're seeing that Jimbo Fisher doesn't deal well with it. Heck, even go back to last spring and last summer when him and Nick Saban were having a war of words. The coach that looked the worst coming out of all that is Jimbo Fisher, because he went on a big, long rant, kind of broke SEC protocol by calling him out and throwing out allegations out there and saying, maybe you guys should look into this, calling Nick Saban God and all this type of things. Things that just coaches don't do as far as just the modern decorum in the SEC. And that's because Jimbo Fisher felt attacked. And when he feels attacked, he does not respond in a very professional manner in the public spectrum.
Someone who does do well in the public forum is Nick Saban. So I want to direct your attention to what he said yesterday about one of his players in big trouble. Many interpreted it as a direct shot at Nate Oates, who said something similarly a couple of weeks ago in trying to interpretively cover for his star player, Brandon Miller. What did you make out of the Saban comments and the controversy that has followed?
Well, I think that a lot of us, we bring our own biases into things. We project ourselves into situations. And the only person who could properly convey and explain what they meant by what they said yesterday is Nick Saban. But having said that, whether it was subconsciously or without knowing it, or he did go in there with the full intention of saying that line, that is for Nick Saban to answer. But the fact of the matter is that sentence, that language, was such a controversial statement made by Nate Oates previously that it's been floating around that campus around Alabama for a good part of a month, and then Nick Saban kind of let it slip, whether he knew it or not. The fact of the matter is that you could just go by the actions and not necessarily the words. And we're seeing a morality play here being played with two parts, being played by Nick Saban and Nate Oates. And Nick Saban is very clearly saying, if you do something wrong and you hang around the wrong type of people who will put you in positions to be in trouble and to get in trouble and to break the law, then I have to punish you and I have to hold you accountable in a way I see fit. So we could sit back and make our own judgments based off of what Nick Saban's shown us and what Nate Oates has shown us with the handling of the Brandon Miller situation with the basketball program and and of course with the Alabama situation with Tony Mitchell. And if you were to flip their roles, it's very clear that I would think Nick Saban would have sat Brandon Miller down until they got more information or until he felt that he got a clear enough explanation himself from the police and also from Brandon Miller, and allowed these things to kind of stretch themselves out until he felt comfortable that he was able to play in a basketball game or whatever sport. Again, this is a morality play. We could go in the weeds about the legality issues of everything. But for a coach, in a lot of ways, whenever you're a coach and you're punishing a player, it's very much like being a parent. You're deciding whether to ground your kid and make him stay in his room and not go outside and play. Obviously, this is a much different situation with sports and playing on a field, because it affects your teammates and affects the fans and everything. But again, even if there's not a legal issue here, and Brandon Miller not being arrested, not being charged, there is a moral issue here. How do you sit there as a coach and explain to his teammates, to your administration, to your bosses, that this player is playing or I am benching them right now. And right now we're seeing that Nick Saban, at least from my projection, projecting this, and Nate Oates, Nick Saban would have handled that situation much, much, much differently if he was the basketball coach at Alabama.
And finally, another similar situation. How do you feel, or how do you, or what do you think of the way that Kirby Smart has handled the culture question that's come up a couple of times? It came up in an interview 3 weeks ago, and it came up at a press conference the other day. Does his program have a culture problem?
I do think that he's actually handled it quite well. I know a lot of people want to go after the big-time head coaches when it comes to the culture issues. There are certain things you can't control, whether it's with current players or former players. What you can control as a coach is the type of situations you afford them. And by that, I mean, for example, the question of, you know, rental cars and everything like that with staffers, what they're allowed to use, what they're not allowed to use, because then that they can use that for things outside of work and obviously the people they're hanging out with. Having said that, I think Kirby Smart and Georgia have actually kind of handled this pretty well there, and the way, in the situation they're handling it. I do wonder about the mental health aspect of all this among all the people who are involved, because they've been dealing with a lot of this mentally and a lot of ridicule, a lot of criticism. And of course, the very fact that they've lost friends and teammates, that's got to be terrible for your mind. And you're seeing it with Jalen Carter going into his pro day 9 pounds heavier, not being able to finish position drills. I just hope for his sake that as much criticism and all the questions surrounding him, that he's being able to look out for himself and that people are looking out for him as well. I think that's something that maybe that should be asked by reporters and others at Georgia when they get a chance, is how are you providing support for the people involved and those who aren't even directly involved there? Because that has gone through the entire program. Everybody's being affected emotionally. How are they handling that? How are they supporting everybody? That's what I want to hear. I want to see how they're handling this all going forward.
Always a great conversation. Speaking of handling things well, Brandon Marcello, not related to Brandon Miller, has done a great job here. Thank you, Brandon. Appreciate it very, very much. We head to the break. More of your phone calls, your reaction when we come back.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We are back, and Kathy is up next in Georgia. Hello, Kathy.
I had to call back, Paul, because you need to win an Academy Award. You should get an Oscar for your performance on the phone with Jim, because you've done a great job.
So you hold on a second. Now, you're not suggesting I was acting during that call, are you?
Oh, no, I know you were swatting away stuff, but it was the stuff that coming out of that mouth from your collar, not a bug. So, anyway, I thought...
Unfortunately, the bug
awesome.
Is still alive.
Yeah. But anyway, I just had to say that. And if you'll play it back, you know it's time and time again. It's
well, thank you.
Over
I will.
And, over.
And that bug will die before the end of the day. I'll make that prediction right now. Are you with me?
You're on track. You're on track.
That bug has been sentenced. Lee is up next in Texas.
Yeah, Paul?
Hello, Lee.
Yeah, Paul, can you hear me?
I can.
Hey, I coached with Art Briles for 10 years, coached quarterbacks, running backs for him at the high school level. I grew up around him. And I was just wondering if you still had the same stance or point of view that you had several years ago. I saw you on ESPN and pretty much a scathing review. And I just wondered if you still had that same point of view or stance. You know, Art's arguably one of the most revolutionary people in the game of football. And he also has two daughters. And I knew from the get-go that something was wrong. But did you ever have a chance to watch the Jason Whitlock interview with Coach Briles?
I missed that, no.
I think it'd be worth your time to sit down and listen to that.
Ask you this, because Lee, I don't know Art Briles, and obviously you do. Forgetting what was said in the past, but encapsulating all the negativity toward him, what did those of us who said all those things get and have wrong about him?
Well, you know, the way he explained it in the Whitlock interview was that rape was a problem on the Baylor campus. It was not a problem on the football team.
Okay.
You know, I thought it was interesting that the law group that did the investigation for the university didn't interview one of the players. Not a single player that was accused of raping anyone was ever interviewed. And I think that's strange.
Mm-hmm.
I also know, too, I know this about Art. He's a genuine person that would never intentionally do anything to harm a kid. And that's the reason why people gravitate towards him is because you can see his heart. And so I knew when this came out, I never had any doubts that he had changed because he had made it big or any of that. But, you know, what concerns me is that people are so quick to jump on the – and I know it was the Me Too movement was real big at this time. And there were people that were, you know, jumping to drink that Kool-Aid.
If I could pause one second, I think a lot of people would disagree with your description of the Me Too movement as being drinking Kool-Aid.
Well, I don't mean that in an insensitive way. I mean, if rape is one of the worst things I think that could ever happen. I mean, I do. I wonder about somebody that could do that.
Listen, I want to make it clear to you, there's no question. I mean, what you saw, I mean, I was extremely hard on Art Briles, and it's been a long time since I've really had much to say about him because, as you know, he really hasn't been a topic of conversation. But I try to keep an open mind about everyone, though. I really don't, you know, just because I said something at the time, doesn't mean I wouldn't be open-minded about what you're telling me here today. So I'll follow your lead. You tell me what I need to do to try to understand Art Briles better.
See, that's why I called into you, because I started listening to your show, and I enjoy it. I think you're fair. You allow call-in from just normal people, just like myself, and just like I consider Art to be, just the common folk. But I was going to say that it's people were eager to jump on the bandwagon that Art was bad, but were the folks that could do due diligence and wonder why Baylor would pay what they did in a buyout to keep him quiet? I mean, were the people that will take up for him now and say he deserves to get another job? I mean, we're talking about a man that's, like I said earlier, you know, he in a way revolutionized the game.
I agree with you. I mean, listen, Art Briles, the football coach, I think probably will never get the credit that he earned. But
I hope you're wrong about that.
Well, I don't think I am for this reason. I've watched this before, and too often, and I say this as objectively as I can, Lee. When the last time the media, and I use that word loosely, sees someone, and the only way I think Art Briles, I know he's tried to come back, and every time he has, someone has thrown up a brick wall, as you well know.
Well, it's really easy to, and I've talked to folks about this, ESPN can get you hired or get you fired. And if you're on the wrong side of that wall, then you're pretty much tainted. The well is poisoned. And I didn't want this.
I'm sure I missed this somewhere because I didn't see the interview you mentioned. But the thing that always bothered me about Art Briles, and again, I could be, based on what you're telling me, I may have missed everything that happened. But I always felt like had he shown some contrition, perhaps it would have made it easier for him to return. And I realize if you don't feel like you did anything wrong, there's no reason to show contrition. But that was always something that bothered me.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's not the issue. But when you start to show contrition, then you start having to talk about the situation, and
he was
banned from doing that.
Right. No, I understand. I mean, we've all been, well, not all of us, but some of us have been there where you're told you cannot discuss this, and it makes it difficult to defend yourself. But let me say this to you, Lee. I appreciate your call. I do very much, and I am open-minded, and not that it matters, but I'm just telling you. You tell me, however, in whatever means possible, I'll do whatever you think is necessary to try to understand the situation better. We're up against a break right now, though, and we come right back with much, much more.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
What a busy program it has been so far. AJ in Pell City.
Jim, I've been thinking, what could keep your calls from stinking? Unfortunately, folks, there's not a vaccine out for that yet. Hey, Paul, one thing it is hilarious about Jim's calls, though. I'll tell you, I'll be honest with you. The funniest thing about Jim's calls is when he'll say, all kidding aside, Paul. All kidding aside, Paul. Can I be honest with you? Can I be honest with you, Paul? Jim, you don't even know how to spell honest. You're more wishy-washy than a hyper set of windshield wipers, Jim. But I will give you a shout-out, Jim. Happy anniversary to you and your wife, Jim. I was in the front pew with your wife this Sunday at church, and I said, why do y'all celebrate y'all's anniversary for 12 days in a row? And she said, well, AJ, each day represents one of Jim's personalities, so it takes us 12 days to get our celebration over with. War Eagle. Hey!
I-Man is up next. I-Man?
You've made it pretty difficult on me to follow the calls this week. I mean,
AJ's
bringing it. You know, Paul, it's obvious that the little Mitchell guy, you know, the Bama, the Alabama football player, the four-star back, is that correct?
He's got a lot of stars, and he heard a lot of sirens the other day.
Yeah, and it's obvious he probably, you know, Nick Saban's going
to
try to keep
him. How much weed did he have in his car, according to the police? Half a pound of weed.
I mean,
I ask a man who's from that era, half a pound of weed. You ever had that much on your possession?
I've seen that much. But I will say this, if you're going 141 miles an hour.
That wasn't much of a denial there, by the way.
Well, it wasn't. Well, I have seen that much. Okay. You know, if you're driving, first off, you shouldn't be driving 141 miles an hour, period.
No, not with a half a pound of weed.
No, and I tell you, if they pull you over, you don't need a set of metal scales, like from the science department, in the vehicle either. And I will say this, if you've got a half a pound of weed, that looks like a small bale of hay. You better have some kind of farm animal in there.
Man, I knew guys that tried to hide nickel bags, but a half a pound, you're not stuffing that anywhere.
You're not stuffing it anywhere, and you're not hiding it. And this crazy thing, some of this stuff smells so loud you can't even hide it in the vehicle. Now, see, you know, with the dispensaries and all this kind of stuff coming into the world as it is, now just look what it would have saved this young man from himself, and then Nick Saban could rehab him, and he could be a star at the
University
of Alabama.
Well, don't you agree though with everybody about how Saban has taken the high road here?
Oh, absolutely. The high road, no pun intended. I guess with a half a pound of weed, you can take high road.
A very high road.
You know what, Paul? If you don't know where you're going, a half a pound of weed will take you any damn where. You can take a trip and never leave the farm. And Mitchell, if he just come up and say, I just took my NIL money and I was investing it to roll it over into my stock portfolio. Have a good day.
Yeah. We could spend the rest of the show talking about what to do with a half a pound of weed, but we're not going to. Kevin is up next in St. Louis.
Hey, Paul, how are we doing today?
Kevin, we are well. Thank you for asking.
Fantastic. Hey, just a comment on Jim. It'd be nice if, for all the time you let him on the air, if he actually would make a point. He seems to babble on, but he never makes a point. So much for that. My question today is this. I know last week you were talking about the Kentucky basketball program and how the Calipari's got them to the point where they're not necessarily nationally prevalent anymore. I think right. That's a term you use. Is if you were the AD there, what would you do to change where they are today versus where they used to be? I'd love to hear your thoughts
on
that,
Kevin,
Paul.
It's the ultimate question, but the problem is there's not an answer. And normally if you have an employee who is not doing what you expect him to do, you can put him or her on a very short leash, so to speak. When you're the guy who has given that person an extended contract that goes on really forever, what do? You have no control. You can't fire him because it costs too much money. You can't demand that he does this or that because he knows. I mean, John Calipari knows what he's doing in terms of the basic, you know, running of a basketball program. He just can't seem to win anymore in March. That's the big issue. Jimmy is up next.
Jimmy, this is Jimmy the Cop. How are you,
Jimmy?
Doing,
how are you? Good to hear from you.
Yeah. Sometimes I think I live in an alternate universe. That was a direct shot at that coach.
Sure was.
There's no two ways about it. And how anybody can parse their words and try to, you know, put a new nuance on it is incredible. And he was. Let me tell you, he was squirming since that all this trouble. He was embarrassed by University of Alabama. You know, the whole thing. In a way, he got a great opportunity by an unfortunate event to come out. He was waiting to say something like that, and he had the opportunity to say it. So it was a direct shot. As far as being at the wrong place at the wrong time, even though when I became a cop 60 years ago, they told you as soon as you got it, don't hang around with the wrong people in your neighborhood. Don't get in any cars you regret. You know, so you had to be very careful as a, you know, who you associated with. It's the same thing with the star basketball players. They should know better to who they hang out with. There's been plenty of precedent, you know, and I blame a lot of that on the coach.
Jimmy, you've seen a lot. I mean, a half a pound of weed going 141 miles an hour. What does that mean?
It means you put a lot of people's lives in jeopardy. It's a serious thing.
I'm glad you said that, because I think of all the things that we're talking about here. That's really what he did. I don't care, what kind of I don't care what he has in his car. That's between him and the authorities. Yeah. But when you go 104, right. People say you learn. I mean, Henry Ruggs, who was on that team 3 years ago, did the exact same thing, and his career has been destroyed, and he ended up being accused of killing someone in the process.
Exactly right. That's what they should know. And he took the opportunity he wanted to take that opportunity to say that. And this is the unfortunate event that let him get on the stage. And it was a direct shot. Anybody who thinks otherwise is on tea leaves or something. I don't know.
You're right. Jimmy, thank you. Appreciate the call. We head to the break. Coming back with much more. We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.